Gascoigne going to have a crack? He is, you know. Oh, I say!
Welcome back to another edition of the Internet's Most Dangerous Tottenham Hotspur Podcast. It's Wheeler Dealer Radio. I'm your host, Greg, and I'm getting glared at by my wife from across the room. I'm joined by two of our three other regulars today. Brian is busy hitting the slopes, as he would say. But we have Ben Daniels, my sidekick emeritus, is back from his exile today. Ben, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. North London is ours.
Yeah, that didn't last very long, did it?
No, that was hilarious.
How was Saturday or Sunday in your house? Married as you are married to an Arsenal fan.
It was awful. You know, the last few years we've taken to watching the games in separate rooms because one of us is always annoying. But for some reason, this year we decided we should watch it together. And in my hubris, thinking that Arsenal were shit and Spurs were better after that commanding victory over Chelsea, I was like, yeah, this is going to go fine.
Yeah, I really appreciate how your wife doesn't talk about Arsenal for months at a time on Twitter and then decides to start dishing it out after the North London derby. It was really, I really appreciated it.
Yeah, I mean, it's nice to now go back to those tweets and make fun of her.
That is nice.
So, you know, tweets are forever, and she will reap what she sowed.
Next up, we have you know, straight from the Moussa Sissoko news desk, it's Reno Wallabout. Reno, how's it going today?
Well, sadly, in response to recent events, I have the unfortunate job of announcing there have been layoffs at the Moussa Sissoko news desk. Mm-hmm. In fact, we're closing it down. We're now the Juan Foyth news desk.
What do you have from the Juan Foyth news desk?
Well, not great news there either. But
don't tell that to Spurs Twitter.
But we have a GoFundMe in place. It's Reno Wallabout. Where we are hoping with your support and donations, we can keep the lights on and keep bringing you the news on Juan Foyth and not Moussa Sissoko.
So you're not raising money to buy him like a Nelly face Band-Aid or something so he could stop wearing these janky Band-Aids that start bleeding through 3 minutes into a match?
If you've been paying attention, the Band-Aids have been getting smaller and smaller, so I'm confident that pretty soon we'll be Band-Aid free.
Well, it's nice to have a goal that is achievable on this team. I don't know. Let's just jump right into it. North London Derby really sucked this year. I think, as a lot of Spurs fans were sort of noting after the game, and a lot of Arsenal fans do, I feel like it's been a while since I've felt like I was on the really bad end of a North London Derby result. We've had some draws, but it's been a minute since we haven't been feeling pretty good coming out of this game. I mean, I don't know. Was this an uncomfortable flashback for you, Rob?
You would have thought that Andre Villas-Boas was prowling the sidelines.
I mean, watching how he played in the second half, you certainly would have.
Yeah, or maybe he was playing in the game, maybe. You know, there have been a couple of results in games against Arsenal recently that haven't gone great, but getting the snot kicked out of you is not something that we've seen in recent years in this matchup. So it was it felt a lot like the Adebayor red card game.
Yeah, I almost wanted it to end 5-2 just for old time's sake, just to dig that knife in a little deeper and.
You are sentimental.
Bring back the memories. I am. I am a Nostalgia is very important to me.
So, Ben, thinking back, unfortunately, to this game, was it a tale of two halves, or were we just not great the whole game and it got a lot worse in the second half?
Yeah, I mean, it was a tale of two halves if the tale for both halves was basically the same, with luck going our way, one of them.
I think that's a little unfair. I think Arsenal lost control of that game at the end of the first half.
We got the shit kicked out of us.
I'm not saying we were better. I'm just saying Arsenal lost control of that game. Like, if the sides were reversed and that was happening to us, like, I would say that, you know, I mean, they lost control of that match at the end of the first half, and then they quickly reasserted it at the beginning of the second.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely think, like, after we went 2-1 up and, you know, all the touchline brawl happened and all the shushing of crowds, you know, Arsenal were just so demoralized that they couldn't keep going for the rest of the half. But Emery's business casual Dracula team talk.
No, you stole my bit. God damn it.
Wow, yeah, he's a very inspiring character, and he motivated them for the second half.
I want
and
to
then also made substitutions and tactical adjustments, and Pochettino, I don't know, fucking did nothing.
He did something, and it made it much worse.
Right, he moved us to an ill-advised back three where Eric Dyer was fucking awful.
He put Eric Dyer closer to the goal, which is a bad idea.
Never a good idea. And then he made Moussa Sissoko like a lone anchor defensive midfielder, which he is definitely not that. And yeah, it was terrible. I mean, Poch actively coached himself out of that game, which was a sight to see.
Against business casual Dracula.
Yeah, good one, Greg.
Thank you. Thank you, Ben. I appreciate it.
Good one, Greg.
Do you think we talked about this last week about how, like, one of the advantages, if you want to call it that, about playing Chelsea under Sarri is that you know what you're going to get. You might not be able to do anything about it, but you kind of know how he's going to play and how he's going to deploy his players. And I feel like Emery has not been as consistent as that. Do you think that was a challenge going into this game? That, I mean, was that an advantage for them that Arsenal have kind of been in a lot of flux this year? I mean, they didn't even start. Ozil didn't even make the bench, which I'm convinced was entirely a tactical decision as opposed to, you know, he had stomach cramps or whatever bullshit they were shoveling out. But
yeah, I mean, he didn't play at midweek either and wasn't on the bench. But, I mean, I don't know. I think to say that, like, Emery's been running this long con all season where he doesn't convince anyone that he's a good manager only to hold it in reserve to spring it on Spurs in the second half of the derby. I don't know that that's quite what happened.
Oh, I don't think it's intentional. Do you just think it was a problem for Spurs as opposed to, you're right, I don't think Emery's running a long con. I'm gonna put myself a significant points disadvantage just to get one over on Pochettino. And
yeah, I mean, I think we definitely probably underestimated Emery's talents as a manager and Arsenal's ability as a team this year. I mean, I don't think... We didn't seem to take this game as seriously as, like, the Chelsea game, where, you know, in recent years, I think the Chelsea-Spurs matches have been super high energy, very intense, you know, very physical. Like, it's felt more like our real rivalry, as weird as that is to say. It's just those games have always, like, in the past 3 years, have just had a much bigger, I don't know, like, tension and an atmosphere around them that's, like,
I mean, I don't really haven't. I don't think it's a stretch to say that game hasn't. I don't think it's a stretch to say that the Arsenal or that Spurs Chelsea has been a more important fixture for us than the Arsenal one for the past 2-3 years. I mean, these have either been top of the table clashes or about getting into the top four, and, like, Arsenal just hasn't been anywhere near those for a while now. At least in relation to us. Huh?
I said, it's great to say that.
It is kind of nice to say that. What do you think?
And, like, this is my, like, maybe post-match rationalization and for super petty bullshit fandom, whatever. But, like, it does feel a little bit like, you know, winning the North London Derby several years ago was a big moment in our season. And typically those were seasons that didn't offer a lot else. But like getting one over on your rivals was, you know, I mean, it was a bit West Ham, honestly. You know, it was a cup. It felt like a cup final. It was, you know, bragging rights for a minute. It felt like a big deal. And, you know, honestly, like, I'm not as bothered by losing this match as I might have been, like, 5 years ago. You know, I mean, 72 hours later, we were already ahead of them in the table. It's just like...
Well, that takes some of the edge off. I'll give you that.
But, you know, I mean, there was definitely, like, there was a time, a long time, when Arsenal fans, you know, looked at the North London Derby a little more condescendingly, a little bit more like we look at a West Ham match. I'm like, isn't it cute that you guys care so much about this? You know, we're fighting for bigger and more important things. And I wouldn't say the tables have turned. It's not like Arsenal are, like, not in a top four race. Like, they finished above us in 2015-16 when, you know, we came in third in the two-horse race for the title to Leicester. You know, it's not like they're, like, out of sight. But it does feel a little bit like, I don't know, the game has lost some of its significance in my emotional space of as being a Spurs fan. Or does anybody else feel the same way? Or am I just being a little bitch and like rationalizing getting our asses handed to us by our arch rival?
I think that's right.
Yeah, I think you're doing both. I was thinking about this last week where if you go back to 2010 and you look at, like, what is a Spurs fan, like, real... What is the upper ceiling of their realistic hope? So putting aside, like, oh, Spurs win three titles or whatever. Like, what do you want to see happen to this team in, like, 5 to 10 years? And regularly qualifying for the Champions League, watching Arsenal drift out of regular Champions League qualifications, watching Arsene Wenger sort of descend into... I don't know, disgrace is too strong a word, but, you know, sort of watch his reputation suffer. I mean, develop home, like, super homegrown players, not miss Gareth Bale at all. I mean, we've touched a lot of the sort of, like, upper echelon realistic goals that most Spurs fans had when I became a Spurs fan, and it's, I think some of that has made, you know, the North London Derby, like you said, it's just not, there is, it feels less vital, I guess is the word, which feels funny to say because I was definitely super miserable on Sunday. And as it was happening, like, I'll say this, like, that's probably the most miserable I've been watching a football match in a while. But at the same time, like, you know, and maybe like you said, that like, we're ahead of them in the table already, you know, it doesn't bother me as much. And maybe that's because we're just used to being ahead of Arsenal on the table these days. I don't know. But it doesn't feel, like you said, it doesn't feel as all-consuming as it did a couple of years ago. Rob?
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I said last week that I think Chelsea, or at least to me, are a bigger rival, and that's because it always feels bigger when the opponent is successful and you're trying to topple them. And, you know, Chelsea win titles and Arsenal win FA Cups, which obviously is more than we do, but
it's, I think there's also something to be said for the fact that, you know, we have been fighting Chelsea the last few years for things that both of us are going for. We lost to them in an FA Cup semifinal. You know, we had that the year that Leicester won the title, Chelsea wasn't up for it, but we had a game that eliminated us from the title hunt. You know, we fought over top four last year. I mean, Spurs and Chelsea have been a lot closer in terms of what they're shooting for than Spurs and Arsenal have been for a while now.
Yeah, and I think it says something that until this game, like, we hadn't really tried to fight them in a while. I'm like, we're always trying to fight Chelsea.
Remember when Martin Yole squared up to Arsene Wenger?
That was priceless.
No. Oh, I would have liked...
I don't.
You don't remember this?
No.
Oh, it was during one... Obviously, it was back when Yole was our manager, and Wenger started talking some smack to him on the touchline, and Yole just, like, walks straight up to him. And you could see the moment where Wenger's just like, oh, no, this is a huge mistake. I would have loved to have pressed play on that, because Yole looks like he's about to eat him alive. It's incredible. But, yeah, we haven't...
Sorry.
we haven't had a real nasty, touchy match with Arsenal in, God, I can't remember the last really heated match. I remember thinking our last match against the last North London Derby at White Hart Lane felt very, very subdued. It was just this
the routine. The last few kind of felt that way.
It was this routine 2-0 win that was just like, boy, I thought this game would be a lot more high energy. And I don't know. It's been a while since a North London Derby's packed that level of, this level of sort of vitriol and energy, for lack of a better term.
We get to do it again pretty soon.
Well, that League Cup doesn't count. Come on. Not unless it's like the semis or something.
I will say, like, it did feel like this match did feel like it injected some life back into the rivalry that I feel like has definitely been lacking recently. And I definitely, like, while watching that game, especially being on Twitter, was like, nope, I hate Arsenal fans more than Chelsea fans. These people are fucking terrible. I hate this team.
I forgot how annoying I found Arsenal. I know that's hard to believe, and it's probably not going to be well received on a Spurs podcast, but I'd forgotten how annoying Arsenal fans were, because it's been a while since they've really had shit to talk about us.
Yeah. Yeah, they suck.
They all came out of the woodwork, too. It was really funny.
No, it wasn't funny. It was terrible.
No, it wasn't funny. It was terrible, but...
Yeah. I mean, look, it would have been nice if we had bullshitted our way to victory after we went 2-1 up. I don't know why. I definitely felt like after that happened, I was like, yep, this is how this game's going to go. We're going to once again fluke our way to a victory that we probably don't deserve, because that's kind of how our season's been going. And... You know, I don't know why I felt comfortable that that was what was going to happen. Like, it is Arsenal. It is a rivalry game. You know, they are a good team. But I honestly didn't see that coming. And I really feel like I should have.
Think about it. Look at that stretch. Like you said, Spurs have fluked their way to some victories this year. Arsenal is renowned for their ability to collapse. And during that period where we scored those two goals, Arsenal decided to, like, get shitty and chippy with us, and I don't know if we're gonna get into a shithead fight. You know, I kind of like our chances against anyone, especially Arsenal. You know, that felt like a game that was, at least going into the half, I could see, like, yeah, this is falling out of Arsenal's control. Now, you know, also we could fuck it up and give away a goal, I saw happening too, but I didn't expect us to give up, you know, two more or three more.
Well, that was one of those, like, maybe Pochettino hasn't watched a single Arsenal game this season, because they haven't held the lead at halftime once this year, and then they're the best second half team in the league for some reason. So we probably could have seen that coming.
So let's talk about the second half. I mean, we talked about it briefly earlier. What happened? I mean, we made bad subs, but that's not all that happened. I think Arsenal made adjustments coming out, and we just
weren't
ready for
it. They made good subs.
But was it?
They brought on Ramsey and Lacazette, who are very good guys to be able to bring off the bench.
Yeah, it's a real shame that Ramsey's going to be wearing an Arsenal jersey for the rest of his career.
Yeah, it's annoying to see, like, a guy like Ramsey, who has been good for Arsenal, has been a real piece of shit and you know, a real thorn in our sides, particularly, be marginalized all season. You know, they pulled his contract offer off the table. Like, he's literally getting run out of the club. And to see him, like, get a shot shortly after halftime to just fucking stick it to us with two assists is a particularly annoying way for that to go.
So, Ben, you look at that second half. Well, I mean, obviously you're going to blame Pochettino's subs, but more so than that, did Arsenal just win the midfield battle with the players they were able to deploy? Because they certainly adjusted after sort of, like I said, they lost a little bit of control there at the end of the first half. But they make those subs, and, you know, it probably took a while for them to really start cutting us open, but they got there.
Yeah, I mean, we were bad just all over the pitch. I mean, Moussa Sissoko was a fucking nightmare. Eric Dier, I thought, had a good first half, and then a just appalling second half. Pulling him out of midfield to put him closer to goal, where he is, I'm sorry, he's just not a center back. He has never been convincing back there. He's just not a very good, like, defender in those circumstances.
No, Eric Dyer is not good enough to be an emergency center back. That's about it.
Right. And then leaving the midfield in Sissoko's incapable hands after he demonstrated the whole first half that he was a total liability. I just don't know what Pochettino was thinking. Like, why did we think that that would successfully hold down the fort when Arsenal had just bought on a third midfielder in Ramsey? And they have Lucas Torreira running around causing all kinds of fucking havoc in midfield as it was. It was just like, I don't know what we were trying to do with that tactical shift, but it was just wildly unsuccessful.
We were trying to sell Toby Alderweireld is what we were trying to do.
Yeah, I don't know what the fuck that was.
I think that was rotation. I honestly.
But, okay, you could bring him on after an hour instead of putting Dyer in the back line.
Well, Vertonghen has to get sent off, so.
That's really frustrating. Vertonghen has been Mr. Reliable for a while now. He's been so good, after Toby fell out with Pochettino, everyone was kind of like, oh, you know what? Vertonghen's the real guy in our back line. Like, he's the, he's actually way better than Alderweireld is. And this match was probably the worst I've ever seen him in a Spurs shirt.
I agree. And we've watched a match where he literally pulled a guy's pants down.
That was one of his best matches in a Spurs shirt.
Yeah, he got away with that.
That was great. But it was so... He was rusty, I think, is the problem. And of all of the center back pairings, pairing him with Foyt was guaranteed to be the weakest, I guess, because Foyt and Toby had been playing together, and obviously...
I mean, I think it's worth pointing out.
Play Toby and Vertonghen, but Toby had to be rotated out, so it was bound to be a little shaky.
I think it's worth pointing out that this is where the injuries are hurting us. I think we would have looked a lot more solid if Sanchez if we'd been able to put Sanchez out there. I mean, having lack of depth on that particular match day in defense is a little more defensible than what the lack of depth we had in midfield, but not having Sissoko out there, or not having, sorry, not Sissoko, Dembele out there definitely hurt us. It was, we looked thin against Arsenal in a way we haven't looked. We seem to have figured out a way to work around that in the previous matches, and maybe it's just a product of three big matches in a week, and somebody had to go, and that's just what happened. But I don't know. We looked very thin on Sunday.
I mean, that is. Some important context to that performance. Like, if you switched the Chelsea and Arsenal games, we played Arsenal first, coming off an international break where everybody, not everybody, but some of the most important players got some rest. Like, we probably would have looked a lot better against Arsenal and maybe not as good against Chelsea. It's like everybody was clearly tired, and because of the need to rotate, there were some pretty shitty matchups, and they were dead for the last 30 minutes. Whether that was psychological because they threw away the lead and were getting the shit kicked out of them, or some of it was just physical and mental fatigue, I don't know. But that definitely looked like the performance of a team that had played 3 times in 8 days and was just getting run off the field by a team that sent their academy team to Ukraine for their Europa League game and was totally fresh.
Yeah, and it's definitely a part of it. But I think, bringing up Chelsea again, like going back to what Greg mentioned about being tactically prepared for this match versus a Chelsea match, it is notable that we went into the Chelsea match with a clear game plan. Like, we knew we wanted to push on Jorginho as much as possible, keep him from distributing the ball, force him into mistakes, press him whenever possible. We knew the spaces we wanted to exploit behind Marcus Alonso. Like, there was a real obvious plan of how we wanted this team to attack, where Chelsea's weaknesses were, how we could exploit them, and we did. And with Arsenal, I could not tell you at any point in the game what we were trying to accomplish.
Fight them. We were trying to fight them for about 10 minutes. But that's about the only thing I could say to that.
Yeah, but we had no concept of our fullbacks were useless. We weren't running the game through them. Our midfield was bad. you know, we weren't like trying to like sit deep and counter. I mean, there was just nothing that we were doing that made sense.
Well, that was really frustrating too, because you've seen it this year where in different ways we've got this amazing attacking band of players, and we've used them to sort of drag the rest of the team to a good performance in other points of the year, but we were just like, I mean, Arsenal was just pressing us with abandon. We weren't putting any real pressure on them with, you know, maybe the exception of the end of the first half. We didn't, like you said, Ben, it was like there didn't seem to be an organized effort. And, you know, maybe that's a product of Arsenal being kind of a team in flux right now. But, you know, other worse teams than us have figured Arsenal out this year. I know they haven't lost in a ton of games, but, you know, a lot of these are bullshit draws. They had no business being, you know, getting any points out of. It's not like they've played well this, like, you know, all the time this year. I mean, Ben likes to joke about Pochettino, but I mean, he's a good manager who has beaten some very good teams and some very good coaches. Like, we should be able to do better against Unai Emery than this. I mean, some days you just get beat. I get it, but.
Right. And then to see Arsenal go to Man U a couple of days later and draw against a team that has really not been good this season. It's like, well, what the hell happened here? I didn't watch that game because it was the same time as Spurs Southampton, so I don't know if that was a deserved draw or what, but the result was better. Well, that's the thing. I mean, that's a tactical setup designed to do a thing.
Right, and we couldn't even say that we tried to Mourinho them, because we definitely didn't. I mean, we tried to fight them, so in that sense we did, but... Yeah, I couldn't really tell you what the tactical plan was.
I mean, I'm fine if the tactical plan is let's blame Paul Pogba for our loss, but I'd like to think we have something more nuanced designed than that.
Yeah, we blame a different Frenchman.
Okay, fair enough. So, I mean, the nice thing about this game is that Arsenal's sort of ascendancy in the table over us was extremely short-lived because they drew Manchester United. And because we beat Southampton 3-1 on Wednesday? Yes, Wednesday. This is a game that, I don't know, in some ways I was kind of encouraged by this performance. Southampton don't have a permanent manager right now and obviously aren't very good, but God knows we've lost to worse teams than this over the years. And it was nice for once for Spurs not to just pile misery on top of misery. Ben, was this a good performance?
It was most of a good performance. You know, I think until we went 3-0 up, we were comfortable. We were in control. We gave up a few chances early on. But for the most part, we were able to get the ball to our front three of Kane, Sonny, and Lucas pretty frequently. Eriksen was great on the ball. You know, we attacked really well. And then once we went 3-0 up, it looks like everybody went on vacation in the middle of the match. And Southampton really started going for it for the last 30 minutes. And I think by the end of the game, expected goals was even for Spurs and Southampton. But prior to at 3-0 up, expected goals was like 1.5 to 0.3 in Spurs' favor. So we were well on top and then just did nothing the rest of the game and let Southampton... just take a lot of chances, came up really big for us.
Yeah, he had a really nice double save at one point. And it's nice, I feel like it's been a minute since Hugo's had a game this good, so it was kind of nice to be reminded of, you know, I think putting his drunk driving stuff aside, I think we underrate Hugo sometimes, or at least don't fully appreciate him. So it was nice to see him have a game like this, but I think it's worth commenting before we get on, Rob, don't worry, I'll get to you in a second. It's worth commenting on some of the positives of this game before Rob brings up their other stuff. I mean, this game seems to have really turned the pundit world towards Harry Kane being back. And this is maybe one of his more overall solid games, or caps off a run of solid games. But he looked really good. It was a really well-taken goal that he scored early on. Put Spurs up early. That was important. His assist for Son was excellent later in the game. I mean, he was doing lots of Harry Kane things, and I don't think it's a coincidence after a game like this that a lot of people are saying, oh, is Harry Kane back? And everyone's sort of getting ready for him to start whipping people's asses during the December run-in. but it was, I don't know. I thought they did look really good, Ben, especially at the beginning of the second half. It looks like they really ratcheted up on Southampton when you know, for the period it took us to score those two goals. And then we, like you said, we really took our foot off the gas. But I was impressed with how we played until then. But then Spurs took their foot off the gas. And Rob, you think this is a problem, right?
Well, I don't know if it's a problem beyond this particular game, but there's taking your foot off the gas, and then there's, like, if they didn't hit the post three times, like, you might have not won the game. Like, I mean, they really took their foot off the gas. The last, like, half an hour, 35 minutes, the shot numbers were ridiculous. They took, like, twice as many shots, and most of them were on target, except, you know, for hitting the post. So, it's like, I get that from a statistical standpoint, like, it was never really in doubt, but it very easily could have been.
Yeah, I mean, if they put away one of those chances early, and it's 3-1 with 30 minutes to go, and we're still out to lunch, you know, that game definitely, it could have blown a 3-goal lead.
But I also don't think it's a given.
Suddenly kick it back into gear?
That's my point. I'm not sure it's a given that, you know, if they put a goal away, especially a little earlier, if Spurs don't, you know, wake up a little bit, even if they're not as good as they were before, I'm not sure Southampton continues to get the run of play that we were seeing.
Yeah. Another game where Pochettino's substitutions and management was just incredibly frustrating. It's like we went up 3-0 and basically surrendered the match, and Poch really just did nothing about it. You know, at that point, there's like a lot of things you could do. You could take off a guy like Christian Eriksen and give him a rest and say, okay, we're comfortable at 3-0 up and we're not really playing that hard anyway. Might as well give Oliver Skip a shot, or, you know, let's see what, I don't know who else is on the bench, someone else who's on the bench can do. And instead, like, we waited until like the 75th minute to bring on Dele Alli, who, like, again, and we took off Lucas, who's a guy who's not going to play against Leicester on Saturday anyway. And it just, I just don't understand what the plan was. You know, if, like, if we were playing badly and we needed to shake things up and energize a team or something, like, make some changes, put some guys on who might be hungry for some minutes, who might, you know, give us some energy, who might give us something. And if we're not concerned about, you know, the lackadaisical approach to the game, then just rest players because we're 3-0 up and you're coasting home. And instead, Pochettino did nothing. He just let the starters spend 30 minutes walking around aimlessly. I don't know what that was meant to accomplish. It just didn't do anything good for anything, you know?
Yeah, I had much more of a problem with that than any sort of ability to take control of the match or, you know, not put our foot on the gas. It's just that, like, these, I mean, we played, like we just talked about, we played three really important games in 8 days. We have Barcelona coming up in not that much time. Let's get these guys, you know, like, God, get Eriksen out of there and put in someone who's not going to play. Get Kane off. You know, like, let's give these guys a rest. And instead, it's just like you said, here's Dele Alli. You know, we didn't put Skip on until extremely late. I mean, just get these bodies off. I mean, like, let them rest. I'm not sure how much of a difference, like, 20 minutes makes in the grand scheme of things, but it at least, like, minimizes the chance that someone's going to get hurt.
Yeah, it's just like, what were they being out there to do since they clearly weren't, like, playing football? That's really my question.
So, in theory, Pochettino's like, well, I'm not too convinced by this performance. I want to leave my stars out there just in case. But it was like the exact opposite happened. Like, Eric Dier and Harry Kane looked completely exhausted, and they totally lost control of the game. So, like, if you put Skip and Llorente on after an hour, like, yeah, okay. If they then totally lost control of the game, we'd be like, well, why'd you fucking empty the bench after an hour? But he didn't. He left his stars out there, and they played like shit. Which may or may not carry over into the Leicester match, but, like, nobody important really got a rest. So I'm glad they won that game.
Well, Delly got mostly a rest. I mean,
mostly a rest, but he still had to play.
Yeah, yeah.
He still had to warm up. He still had to play. He still had to warm down. I mean, I don't, like you were saying, I don't know what difference 20 minutes versus 80 minutes makes, but you still got to, like, stretch and warm up and go out and play, and then you got to warm down. And I don't, like, if Delly's getting a rest, then he doesn't need to play at all. Why does Lucas need to come off? He's not tired. He can play the whole game. I mean, unless you're just not happy with how he's performing, or because he's a fascist. But
there we go.
Here nor there.
I don't know. I mean, this is an issue with Pochettino. He doesn't always seem, with the exception of his fullbacks, he doesn't seem to value resting players as much as we might like.
Well, he does when it's Toby Alderweireld in a North London derby.
Yeah, well, that's fair too. Oh, well, you know, center backs, naturally known as the players who cover the most, you know, grass on the pitch.
You know the policy about guys who aren't signing new contracts and how they need to be rested.
Honestly, yeah. Like, if you're going to run anybody in the ground, let's do it with the dudes who aren't going to be here next year. Like put Dembele in a wheelchair and just, like, roll him out there. Just, like, have him get in people's ways, Boussa. Come on.
We'll be better than Harry Winks.
Winks has not been good lately. I mean, we thought he was turning a corner earlier in the year, but he has been not good in the last couple matches. Do we think, is he still hurt? Is he just never going to get good again? Is he actually Jack Wilshere in disguise?
He might be. Yeah, I mean, it was not a great performance from Harry Winks. I mean, the problem is he's just non-existent in midfield when we don't have the ball. I think he had zero tackles and zero interceptions, which, like, you're a midfielder in, like, a two-man midfield. You can't do that. You can't not play defense. I don't know if he was playing defense and just inept at it or just didn't think it was his responsibility. I don't know. I didn't analyze it that closely while I was watching the match, but, you know, it was telling how easily Southampton were able to just waltz through midfield and launch wave after wave of attack against us. Like, that's just not going to cut it. And I feel weird being, like, more critical of the performance against Southampton that we won 3-1 than against the Arsenal performance, which, categorically, that game was worse. It's just, this was a game that should have been comfortable that wasn't for a lot of stupid reasons.
Well, then Southampton are terrible.
Right.
That's part of the problem. Like,
well, they did get rid of Mark Hughes, so, you know, they automatically got way better.
Right, but if you analyze any of Tottenham's goals, like, Southampton are really bad.
Yeah.
And they were just creating chances left and right in the second half, which is not ideal.
Yeah. Yeah, I wonder how many games Southampton has created and expected goals that high.
Well, that's a fun thing. In their draw against United?
I don't know. Anyway, carry on. I'm going to look this up and just see if I can find out really quickly. This is Southampton's best performance.
I mean, Southampton lost 3-1. I'm pretty sure that's not their best performance of the year.
It might be. They've had a very bad year.
So we have two other games coming up that are probably worth commenting on. Rob, are you feeling confident about Leicester City?
If Vardy's not playing, yes.
Does Vardy really affect your opinion of them that much? I'm not. Vardy's not somebody who scares me terribly that much anymore.
I can't tell you a whole lot about Leicester this year, but we shouldn't be scared of that game. Because they're not that good. They don't have a very good manager. And if Vardy's not playing, I don't know who they're going to play up front.
Just for the record, Southampton put up the same XG against Crystal Palace, and that is tied for the most expected goals they've had all season with the game against Spurs.
All right.
There you go.
We've defended worse than Burnley, worse than Fulham.
That's why expected goals is stupid, because we won the game 3-1.
That's right. But that is bad. Anyway.
So, Ben, how are you feeling about the Leicester game?
I feel fine. Leicester's not that good this year. I mean, they're fine. But, you know, the 2015-16 derby is, you know, one of our most important fixtures in the calendar. You know, you can never write off a rivalry match like this. So
our games against them do tend to be stupid, though.
Yeah, they do. We've had a lot of dumb results in Leicester matches lately. But maybe with Mahrez gone, that won't happen anymore.
So here's the big game coming up. On Tuesday, we play Barcelona. Essentially, we have our fate in our own hands. If we win, we're through the champion. It's in the knockout stage of the Champions League. But we just have to equal whatever Inter do against PSV to make it through. Obviously, PSV have nothing to play for, so that is a dangerous game to deal with. But Barcelona is also completely through to the knockout rounds. Nothing they do is going to affect their, you know, their seed or whatever in the next round. So who the hell knows what kind of lineup they're going to trot out there. Ben, how you feeling about our chances to get into the knockout stage?
I mean, not good, but, you know, it is a decent scenario for us. Playing an already qualified Barcelona at Barcelona is the best time to play Barcelona. So, you know, again, we just have to match Inter's results. So if Inter draws, we can get away with a draw. If Inter loses, we can get away with losing. And PSV also has nothing to play for, but, you know, they're not a terrible team. I mean, they played us well.
If there's anyone who can fuck that up, it's Inter.
Yeah.
Or if it's anyone besides Inter who can fuck that up, it's us. So I have no idea
what to expect. I mean, we control our own destiny, which is a nice place to be in. You know, it's all things considered, we're in the best position we could be for this terrible scenario. But I don't like our chances.
I think I read like 538's got us at like 45% chance of advancing, which frankly sounds fair.
You know.
Yeah, well, I'll take a coin toss.
Rob, how are you feeling about it? I mean, I know you're feeling terrible about this, but
how terrible? Of course, feeling terrible. According to Twitter, the list of Barcelona players that are already ruled out of this game through injury include
Luis Suarez. Hold on. Is this like actual injury or like...
They are not going to play in this game because they're injured.
Oh, so Suarez, they're actually injured. Okay.
Umtiti, Sergio Roberto, Rafinha, Malcolm, and Arthur. So
I assume Malcolm's injury...
What about Messi?
Right. So there's that. They've still got lots of good players, and we kind of got the shit kicked out of us by their kids team in preseason. So,
well, that doesn't really mean anything,
but you know, I would throw the first game against them out the window because, as you'll recall, we had none of our good players for that game.
We honestly didn't play as bad as that result looks in that first game.
Defensively, it was pretty awful,
but. You know.
We could have scored more goals. We could have given up more goals. But with our good players, assuming that nobody dies between now and Tuesday, they definitely have a shot. Barcelona have had a pretty weird season themselves. They are not good defensively. They do have that Messi fella. But, you know, they might just phone in this game. So,
it would be very nice of them if they could phone in this game.
It would be very nice, and I am not going to work so I can watch this game. So I'm sorry, everyone.
Your commitment to the Europa League is impressive, Rob. I'll give you that.
It is. So I've guaranteed that they're going to lose. But I think the 40-something percent is probably about right. Like, it could go either way. And it doesn't have to be a win. It just... has to be a result.
It might have to be a win.
It might have to be a win. But Inter are also pretty Spursy, so who knows? It would be pretty funny considering how this Champions League campaign started if they somehow stole their way into the knockout stages. Yeah, the way that they've been stealing points in the league.
If we lost and still got through, that would be the funniest result, I think.
Because this was, like, sneakily, again, like a really hard group.
Well, it was a strange group because Inter was playing really well at the beginning of it, and now they don't seem to be doing that, so...
Yeah, and now they're Inter again.
They were just not Inter long enough for it to really make our lives difficult.
Yeah, and PSV was... You know, the first game against PSV was bullshit, as a lot of games have been this season. But... They were tough, and Barcelona. So, like, this was not an easy group. So, if we somehow get out of it, it would be pretty impressive.
We haven't had an easy group since Pochettino started getting us back to the Champions League again. Like, last year we had Dortmund and Real Madrid in our group.
Yeah, this is like what happened to Manchester City for years.
The year before, we had a pretty easy group. I mean, Monaco turned out to be harder than we thought, but...
Cesca wasn't as Leverkusen, bad.
Like, come on.
Cesca had, that like, tailed off since then. Well, so
that was a bad group. We should have gotten out of that group.
Who was in that group?
But we didn't know that Monaco and, that season.
It was Cesca, Monaco, and who am I forgetting?
Bayer Leverkusen. Yeah. But Bayer were way worse than we thought they were, so, I mean, we should have come out of that group second behind Monaco, at least.
We shit the bet against Leverkusen.
Well, I look forward to whatever painful result we have on Tuesday. Rob, where can people find you on the internet?
You can find me at the Juan Foyth News Desk at Reno Wallabout on Twitter.
There you go. Benjamin, where can people find you on the internet?
Well, you cannot find me at Brett Rainbow at Tumblr. Because fuck you, Tumblr. You ruined my awesome porn account. But you can find me on Twitter at ComradeUSpurs.
You can, you know, I am also boycotting Tumblr with their hostile opinions towards Brett Rainbow's opinions on butts. But in the meantime, you can find me on Twitter at Skipjack0079. So for Ben, for Rob, and of course, for Brett Rainbow, I'm your host, Greg. Thank you very much, and come on, you Spurs.